The biggest stories.
I've just been handed an urgent and horrifying news story.
The big opinions.
Blah, blah, blah. Yada, yada, yada.
Each and every week.
That would be great.
This is the Intersection Podcast with Jason Page.
Fantastic.
Here's Jason.
Thank you, Chad Erickson. It is so good to be with you for another episode of the Intersection Podcast. Back-to-back basketball guests for us. In our last episode, we spoke with NBA coach Stan Van Gundy, of course, of the New Orleans Pelicans. This time, we're going into the collegiate ranks for a great story. The University of Hartford men's basketball program has never been to the NCAA tournament. Their women's program has danced, but the men have never had that opportunity until now. 11 years ago, John Gallagher took over at a program that couldn't get over the hump. It's just 32, 33 years old. Now, they'll face Baylor as a 16 seed in their opening round matchup of the tournament. How does Hartford try to match up with the Bears? We got some insights from Gallagher on that, but I also wanted to talk about the journey of this team with this coach. It's an amazing story where they were last year, on the doorstep of getting into the tournament, how it all fell apart. And now that Coach John Gallagher has finally gotten Hartford into the tournament, will he be listening for other offers? Sit back and enjoy my extended conversation with Coach John Gallagher.
And now, ladies and gentlemen, we present to you the Intersection Interview.
John Gallagher is the head coach of the University of Hartford men's basketball program. Very cool story, making their first ever appearance in the NCAA tournament. Coach, first off, congratulations on finally being able to take this school to the big dance.
Jason, it's been 36 years for the school, and been long, winding turns, but we did it. And the feeling is really hard to describe, and just really happy for the former players. I'm happy for the former coaches, former ADs, former presidents, and all the guys that are connected to the hashtag, what we call the neighborhood. And everybody in the neighborhood is enjoying this like they should. And it's a lot of relief.
A year ago, your team was poised to do what it just accomplished. I've read the story. I've actually read it a few times because it's such an interesting story about you basically going out to your car. It's just before the America East Championship, Conference Championship game. You're poised to be in this position that you're in now a year ago. And then you get the phone call from your interim athletic director. And you said, just give me the news. Okay, season's canceled.
Yep.
Talk about how that moment, for where we are now from that moment and everything that's happened in between, has sort of shaped the mentality of this team.
Yeah, this felt like last year and this year were one year. The pain, I used to work for a guy named Fran O'Hanlon. He had a great line. He said, to be a college coach, you have to lie down with pain, like pain's in a bed. And you have to be able to sleep with it, because there's nights that you just have to live with the pain. Mm. On the other side of the pain, there's greatness. There's great feelings. So right now we're on the other side of it. But during that, when the game got canceled, look, our last 4 years are the best 4 years in school history. 4 semifinal appearances, 2 final appearances, 1 NCAA tournament appearance, and a canceled championship game. It is hard to believe we've taken this next step as a program, but we didn't have a championship to validate it. And now we have the validation. And that's the biggest thing for us, is we got that validation now, Jason. And it's just great to feel.
Well, it's kind of interesting because it reminds me of and you were the head coach, at least early on in his tenure, but it kind of reminds me a little bit of Tom Moore at Quinnipiac. His first few years, they were right there. Like, they were knocking on the door. They even made it to a MAC championship game, and they were so close, and they just couldn't get over the hump. And eventually, Moore has issues, and he winds up leaving. In your case, you actually are able to kind of climb over that, that last mountain. But it's interesting. I was having this conversation with I'm going to name drop here for a second. We had Stan Van Gundy of the Pelicans, their head coach, was on the podcast last week, and I was talking to him about opportunity. And Stan's in his 60s. I said a lot of people would scoff at Stan getting four different opportunities to be an NBA head coach. A lot of people get four chances to coach an NBA team. Why so many opportunities? And I say it has to be about the respect the league has for him. Well, not too many coaches get 10 years at a school, 10 plus years at a school, when they haven't been able to make it to the NCAA tournament. When, let's be honest, that's the goal. Yes, churning out good young men, having them graduate, all of that. But it's about winning and getting into the NCAA tournament. What allowed for school leadership in your mind to have the kind of patience they did with you?
Great question. So the president for my first 7 years was Dr. Walt Harrison. Mm-hmm. Walt Harrison, just believed in my value system. Really, really believed in it. He was tremendous. And then my last 4 years has been a great leader in Dr. Greg Woodward. But Dr. Woodward was very transparent with me when he got the job. He wrote in an email, was phenomenal. He said, let your work speak for itself. And it was, it's honest. He was right. And guess what? If I didn't get it done in year 8, win 19, win big games, I get it. I would have understood, and my family and I would have packed up and left. We had the best year in school history. Then we back it up. But the first 7 years, year 3 and 4, we're winning years. 5, we have injuries. 6 and 7, I lose my 2 best players. You can't make it up. So we just grinded it through. So one of the things I think we do a great job of is in the classroom, our team GPA is always over a 3.2. When we got here, Dan Leibowitz and I got here, the GPA was a 2.2. It matters. Schools like Hartford. The alums and the donors, I mean, I have great relationships with them. I am Hartford. If I ever leave here, I will always support the University of Hartford. That if something ever happened, this is home. This is home for me. I love this place. I love the leadership. They're great leaders. They have a vision. I want to be here and I want to keep on building it. That's how much I believe in the leadership. And Jason, they gave it to me. Like, look, now we have 6 out of 11 years winning seasons. Go look at the Hartford 36 years. They're not doing that. That's not the number. There's a lot of 7, 8, 9 win teams in there. Now we're consistently, 18, 19. Now we would have been a 20 win season this year if it wasn't COVID. We're 10-1 at home. I mean, we're now, it's hard to come in and beat Hartford at Hartford. That was not the case for years.
Outside of your family or your players, who was the first basketball person that you spoke to after your team won the America East tournament?
Wow. The first basketball.
Was there somebody you wanted to reach out to and either sort of glean some sort of advice, or somebody you just wanted to talk to, a basketball person that you could just talk to and say, wow, what now? This is a new position for you as a coach. We'll talk about a little bit as a player, but as a coach, this is something new for you.
I reached out to Steve Donahue at Penn, and I reached out to Mikey Martin at Brown because they're two of my best friends, and I just thanked them. And I reached out to Patty Fallon, who is the wife of Jack Fallon, who took Hartford to Division I.
Yeah.
36 years ago. And I thanked Patty Fallon. And I said, we did this for Jack Fallon. And the other person that I said we did it for was Joe Mihalik, the head coach at Hofstra, who's on medical leave right now. I communicated with him and just said, we're doing this for you. Because Joe called me every day, Jason, in year 6 and 7, when we were bad, every day. And I wanted those guys to understand how thankful and grateful I was. And then the other guy was Porter Moser at Loyola Chicago.
Very cool. What was maybe the best piece of advice you got from any of those people, or the best piece of advice you've gotten so far since now knowing that you're in this position? What's the best piece of advice you got so far?
Enjoy every moment of it. Enjoy it. And then you prepare. You have to prepare to win.
But can you over-prepare? I mean, I know the idea of treat it like another game, but I mean, can you almost over-prepare in this position?
You can. That's why I think you gotta, like, I've watched 9 Balor games. I know how we're gonna win and I know how we're gonna lose. You know, and it's real simple. It's actually not that complicated. If we're gonna knock them off, we have to do X, Y, Z at an elite level. And if we don't do it at an elite level, we'll be getting on the charter heading home back to Hartford.
You're an elite. Look, defensively, you're an elite team. I mean, you're a top 25 team in the country defensively. Again, largely a lot of that against in your conference, which is the America East. It is not the Big 12. You look at the size of this Baylor team. You're obviously going to have to be able to make a lot of shots from the perimeter, hold them off the glass. But I mean, what's the one in watching all the Baylor tape and knowing your team, what's the one common denominator that you look at as that thing you need to focus on? Is it the offensive glass? Is it not getting second shot opportunities?
3 things. It's they can't get 10 or more offensive rebounds. Can't get met 10 or more. Can't be a 19 or 23 offensive rebounds for them. Can't be. Can't happen. 2, we have to make 10 threes. Scott, we got to, because the way they rotate, they're going to give you some threes. And then the third is you can't have live ball turnovers. You have to have less than 10 turnovers. And then we have to hang our hat on. Last year, we were number 1 in the country at defending the 3. This year, we're 19. And we keep on dropping and dropping and dropping. Our scheme the last 4 years, especially the last 2, have been elite, and the players deserve the credit because there's a total focus. We're intentional about the shots we want you to take. And if you make them, we don't get mad. We clap and we get back, we go run offense. And that's where we're going to play Friday at 3:30. We're going to stay on that course defensively.
You can't win the game in the first 7 to 8 minutes, but you sure as hell could lose it.
There you go.
That first punch that you know they're coming swinging out of the gate with, especially with the way they played in their own conference tournament. I mean, again, a new position for you, an unusual position for you. You know, they go up 6-0 early. Oh, do we call a quick timeout? Versus, no, I'm going to let the game play out a little bit. You know your team well enough at this point and its personality. Are you going to let them play, or are you just going to let it be dictated by what you're seeing in that moment?
The first 4 minutes of the game are really, really important. They're going to be coming at us pretty hard. Good news is we have Tracy Carter, our point guard. He's a 6-year guard. He's 24 years old. You know, he will not be phased in this game.
He's a professional college basketball player is what he is.
He played at Marquette. He was an elite guard. And the guys from Baylor are so talented and really good. But we have a guy that's literally, I mean, one of the podcasts, or I heard that one of the coaches in our league said he literally, it's like a guy, the best player at the YMCA. He's coming into this game. He plays like a 35-year-old. And he's not going to be fazed by this. And that right there makes me just feel so much better. I can draw plays up and we can come out of timeouts and execute. And that's why I want us just to be free and like walking into a blackjack table and just firing. We got to be the free team. Because guess what? If we lose by 30, they buried Illinois this year.
Yeah.
They buried Illinois. This is as good as a team. I mean, Illinois is number one seed. This team buried them.
What are you thinking on Sunday when you see Baylor, when you see the draw and you get Baylor? I mean, are you hoping for somebody else in that spot just based on matchups when you're looking at the potential of who you could get in that spot? Are you thinking to yourself, and it'll be number one Baylor versus number 16 Hartford, and you're just going, oh, shoot, man. Are you thinking a different word than that?
Here's what my overall thing is, and this is what I love to get out there is, I don't think the America East gets enough respect. Let me just go through this for a second. Vermont and John Becker. Guy's done an unbelievable job. He should be. Go look at his resume and then go look at the resume of everybody that's getting high major jobs right now. And you think just he's one of the best coaches in America. In the last 10 years, they're the winningest program in New England. Okay? Vermont
not
is.
Not UConn.
They are.
Yeah.
They are. And you have to give them credit. So that's one. And then UMBC with Ryan Odom, another one of the great coaches in college basketball. We had to go win there this year. We beat Vermont at Vermont. Our league is really good. Our commissioner, Amy Hucktausen, has done an amazing job elevating our league. I just think the top four teams in our league, Jason, can go anywhere at any time and win. If high major teams went to Vermont or went to UMBC, they'd have a hard time winning. I'm telling you this. I just think, really, our league needs to start getting the respect. Are we the Missouri Valley? No. Are we a step below them? Yes. Yes. If the Valley came and played our teams at home, we'd have a good – you know, with the exception of Loyola and Drake, we'd play him. We'd play them. I just think our league's got to get some more respect at some point.
What do you take from the games? We're talking with John Gallagher in the Intersection podcast. People are going to think I'm back to being a full-time sportscaster with Stan Van Gundy last week and John Gallagher this week. But it's just the way it kind of panned out. What do you take away from the games against, and they were the first two games of the season, so it's so difficult to glean anything from them. What do you take away from playing teams like Villanova and UConn in those first two games as it relates to playing another powerhouse school?
Yeah, down three to UConn with 10 to go, and we just didn't make enough possessions, but we were in the game. And look, Danny Hurley's done an unbelievable job with that program. They're going to win a lot of games. So that's one. Two, Villanova's culture and the way they do it, you know, the way Jay does it, it's just amazing. So it was great experience for us. You know, if we just – like, here's the funny thing, and this is the interesting thing. If we didn't play those two games, we're 15-6, okay? And we do we get a 15 seed? Maybe. Mm. Maybe. Maybe. And that's the interesting thing that, you know, I you don't know. But what I'm trying to get to the point is Villanova and UConn taught us so much and where we want to go. We return every player in our program except Tracy for the next 2 years.
Yeah, you're young. And normally when I see teams like this, I think of experienced guys staying for 4 years and then – you know, when everybody's at their peak right there, that's when you get to this step. You are in position to be in this spot for more than a couple of years when you look at the sort of the way this roster is built.
And we're playing it without arguably our best player, Moses Flowers, who got hurt. If Moses, like if you said to me tonight, Moses is back 100%, you got him against Baylor, and we got Tracy Carter, Moses Flowers, and Austin Williams against their guards. Let's go. You know, and then we got DJ Mitchell, who would have won six man of the year coming in. That's where I think, you know, we're having a recruiting meeting here in an hour. We have a real legitimate chance the next 2 years to do things in this program that are, you know, can you win a couple games? Can you win? And that, we don't have to go out and recruit anybody. They're here and we got to develop and we got to keep working. But the best days are still in front of us, Jason.
Part of 1996, you were on that St. Joseph's team that went to the Sweet 16. Phil Martelli was the coach then, I believe, right?
Unbelievable.
What do you use from that experience as a player? Because you don't have the experience as a coach in that spot. What do you use as a player, even though it's 25 years ago, from a smaller school that was able to do some big things? How do you use that, if at all, to convince these guys they can play with Baylor?
You know, Phil Martelli had two things that he taught me in that. Well, one overall is his unconditional love for his players. He's just, you know, I saw him today walking by. I love the man. You know, there's a love for him. And I'm thankful and grateful for everything he's done for me. That's one. And the second thing is for the players, how he went about it. And, you know, I try to take that as we belong. We belong here. You know, it's, you know, we've earned it. We've done it. You know, four consecutive years in the semis, two in the championship game, one championship game canceled, one win. We've had a great run. Now it's understanding, all right, this is not 16 versus one. This is Baylor versus Hartford. And how do we compete at the highest level for our program?
It's almost like the scene in Hoosiers. I mean, you're going from playing in a relatively small gym and facilities to playing in the home of the Indianapolis Colts, this megalith stadium, against a top five team, albeit. Do you almost have to remind your team that it's still just the same as any other game? You know, the whole Gene Hackman thing where he gets on the ladder and measures the basket. I mean, do you have to do that, or do you feel like this team is mature enough to sort of understand the difference or understand the fact that it is just the same?
You know, we're going to go practice there at 9 o'clock tomorrow morning, and it's out my window over here. It is ginormous.
I've seen it. It is ginormous.
I mean, it is unbelievably big, and I'm blown away that there's going to be a college game played there. You know, I can't believe Carson Wentz is going there either, but it's another story. So I do think, like, if I look at it, the shooting, you know, I looked at the Big Ten numbers in the shooting. First four games, everyone was below 30% from three. Does that help us? I mean, I don't know. They're number one in the country at threes. This is a game where we have to be understanding that it's 4-minute mini games. They're 4-minute mini games, and we gotta compete for four. These timeouts are like two minutes and 50 seconds.
But is it hard for you to, if you don't coach that way all year, and I don't know, maybe you do. So that's hard to get. Yeah.
I coach that way.
Okay.
4 minutes. So we got to win this four. How do we win this four? And look, this is going to be a different experience. I can't sit here and fake it. But I'll tell you what we're going to do. We're going to be us. We're going to be who we are.
Talking with John Gallagher, head coach at the University of Hartford, the men's basketball program, heading to their first NCAA tournament. They take on the Baylor Bears. The coaching fraternity is a tight-knit group. You saw the news about Gino Auriemma, fellow Philly guy. He gets COVID-19. He's going to miss the Huskies' first game, which I presume they can win without him. Just a hunch. Your thoughts on Gino and any message you want to send to a fellow Philly guy?
First off, get well. He's a great person. We had the same high school coach. He's been a great role model for me through all the years. He's a great, great person, and he's such a great community guy. Get well. Coach, you know, I know he's not feeling sick, so I'm thankful for that for him. And, you know, this is crazy times, and everyone's got to stay healthy out there.
Let me get you out on this. You talk about the fact that, you know, you really want to see this thing grow and build it. But I mean, look, you're 43. You're basically the same exact age as me. I'm 43. And it's amazing to think of your journey from, gosh, I remember 10, 11 years ago, my last year in Hartford, you invited me out to a practice. This is when I became so smitten with you as a coach. You invited me out to a practice. You let me sit in on a practice, and you actually let me talk to your team before the practice broke. And I was like, God, what a great guy. Who the hell's going to allow this schmo who barely played in high school to go and talk to his team? And I've always been rooting for your success since then. So you and a couple other guys that I don't particularly get close to the people I cover or talk about, because then you have a hard time asking them questions. If there's an uncomfortable question, it's like, oh, how do I ask that of somebody I'm kind of friendly with? And I think about your journey and where you are now, but you know as well as I do, you're going on to this big stage, and the world's going to get introduced to you and the Hartford Hawks men's basketball program. And inevitably, depending on how things go on Saturday, maybe even not, you're going to be a hotter commodity than you were just, a week ago. How do you handle that as a coach, and the realistic possibility that there might be other programs that want John Gallagher after they see what you've done with this program?
This is it's a great question. So this is a program, it's different than any other situation. I'm not just saying this. This is our neighborhood. My children love it here. This is my home. I know I'm from Philly, but I'm a Hartford guy now. And this is my community. These are my, so-called people. And I'm not just going to I'm going to build this. There's so much more to be done. We can be consistent winners. We can be multiple NCAA tournament bid league. We can get there multiple times. We can represent ourselves at an elite level. There's more to be done. When I feel that I think there's many years left here to get it done. Then I look at the happiness that I have here. I don't mess with happy. So to answer your question, until I feel otherwise, I don't foresee me wanting to go anywhere. And the neighborhood mentality and the people in the neighborhood that are here and across the world, because we have guys from Australia that played here, New Zealand. We have guys, Czech Republic, Egypt, Ireland, Russia. They're with us. Serbia. That's our neighborhood too. So this Hartford neighborhood mentality, I'm not a guy that just picks up and leaves like this. Just can't do it.
It's funny. I think of Randy Edsall, and I was pretty close to Randy in his first run at UConn. And I remember I played golf with him, and I think it was his last year at UConn. And he said, we talked about, hey, there's going to be other schools that come calling for you. And he was at that age where if you're going to make one more big jump and go to a big program, you got to do it. There's always that mentality. And he did it. And it went disastrously bad for him at Maryland. So there's the other side of the coin, which is, hey, yeah, bigger program or a bigger opportunity and a bigger conference. And it doesn't always work out the way you think it might in your head when you think that way.
The one thing that I would say to you, if the commitment from the school at Hartford wasn't what it was now, you might have to look at it. But the commitment is different. They're so committed right now. And that's what I have to feel and my family has to feel. And if that commitment changes, then I have to reevaluate. But right now, the evaluation is they're really committed and behind John Gallagher and the University of Hartford basketball. And if they're behind it, the grass is not always greener. If you're worried about, the other side, fertilize your own lawn. So we've done that. We've made this lawn the best lawn.
Well, Coach, I will be up at 3:30 in the morning on Saturday morning in Singapore when it's 3:30 in the afternoon in Indianapolis. I wish you the very best of luck. I will be watching and cheering with my Hartford Hawks pom-poms. Good luck against Baylor, and who knows, maybe we'll have something really special to talk about come Sunday or Monday if you guys can pull off the upset. Congrats on a great season, regardless of the outcome on Friday/Saturday, and all the best going forward, my friend.
Jason, always good being with you. Thank you.
And that'll do it for another episode of the Intersection Podcast. Thanks to Hartford Hawks head coach John Gallagher, and thanks to you for stopping by. You haven't subscribed yet? What are you waiting for? We're on every podcasting platform: Spotify, Apple, Google Play, Stitcher, Audible, TuneIn, you name it, we are on it. Wherever you are, stay safe, stay grounded, and remember, you never know who's going to be passing through the Intersection Podcast from Believe. I'm Jason Page. We'll see you next time.